theoretically possible.
Why waste time?
But it doesn't make any sense.
Discovery Houston, press to ATO.
3, 2, 1. Hello, friends.
Hello, everybody. Hi, Quinn. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm excited to share with our friends our journey to a COVID-19 vaccine.
Me too. I love that because we actually had this week, our friends, our very first appointment.
It was very insightful. It was a learning experience, and I sincerely can say I really enjoyed it.
It was such a learning experience. I mean, it was eye-opening. We did a lot of research, as you all know, if you've listened to the past episodes about our vaccine trial journey to get to this far. This is a really pivotal moment, though, because this was where we were actually, this appointment specifically with the research group, which was with Meridian.
Yep.
Meridian Research Group doing the Ensemble 2 vaccine trial research, which is for the Johnson & Johnson Janssen vaccine.
Yep.
Right? So this appointment was like over 4.5 hours. I think it ended up being like five hours
long. It was
longer
than that, yeah. It was a long, long journey, but like you were saying, like we did a bunch of research on it before we got there. We've also been trained to be researchers from our PhD program. So for us to not just be participating in not just any research study, this is like the mecca of research studies. This is like game changing, saving human lives. I mean, the numbers right now are crazy what's going on in the world. And if there's anything we can do to contribute to make it a better place for everyone and save lives, I mean, that's the dream come true. We're both healthy. And we were dedicated to going for it. And I'm grateful that we did.
I'm so grateful we did too. And the doctors, the researchers who are all involved in this, they were really so helpful and insightful. Like they were awesome. And, you know, Dr. Gigi was like the head researcher. She's a doctor. She's amazing. She's so smart and really, really cool person and super open about everything with this trial that made us both feel like not that we were having any sort of odd moments, right? No. Like regrets or anything like that. But she was like, you know what? The thing that I love about anyone who's involved with this trial, including all the people on my staff and the volunteers too, we all are answering the call to action.
Yeah, definitely.
The world needs it and that's what we're doing. So she was awesome. And so let's talk about the first appointment. I mean, we first got there at like 8 a.m. We got there at like 7:30 a.m.
It was super early in the morning. I was trying to go to get a little bit of food before because I wanted to make sure that we had enough food in our stomachs because we knew we had to give a little bit of blood. So we got there really early. Unfortunately, Taco Bell breakfast was closed. So we ended up just going into the office way early. Like we were like 30 minutes early for our appointment. Obviously, the first one's there. Staff were still entering, but they were very welcoming and they got us going with the paperwork. And let me tell you, that was a lot of paperwork.
It was extensive. The paperwork was crazy. I have to say it was, I mean, it was definitely more than your average doctor visit, even on the first time, you know, or any hospital visit.
As it should be, right?
Yeah, and it really continues to inform you with everything. And then they give you this packet at the end after you've filled out most of the paperwork and you give it to the, you know, receptionist. Then you read this, what is it called, like the IRB, basically informed consent form. And it's a huge packet. And this IRB is basically the research board that approves experiments to go forward. And we had to do this for our own dissertations. We had to like get our experiment approved by IRB. But when it comes to human subjects, that's the most sensitive, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the most amazing IRB informed consent
that we've ever seen, read for sure.
And it actually brings up all of it. You know, what I really appreciated too was it brought up every single thing that has happened in phase one and two with different side effects that people have encountered to really inform you of everything that you're going to maybe experience.
Right. So it's a thick, like I'd say, what would you say? Like 60 page type document, something like that. And it was, honestly, I was really excited when we got it. I was
Me too.
I've been waiting for this document because I've read the this same document, but for Novavax, and I was quite familiar with how it was going to be presented. But this one, we didn't get it before. I was trying to get it before, but we were unable to get it. And first thing that we found out as soon as we opened it was this is a two-shot vaccine. And we were really confused.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the Johnson & Johnson one. This is the one that on the news, everyone's talking about single shot vaccine. So I'm like, oh man, they gave us a pen. So I like circled that in big, you know, I was like, we got to investigate this. Why is it two shots?
Yeah.
Is this a new vaccine? What's going on here? That was the first thing. And I'll just let our listeners know. We went straight up to the lady and we were like, is this really the Johnson & Johnson? Why is it two shots? And she said, yes, this is the two-shot vaccine trial. The reason why we're doing this one is because the first one-shot-only Ensemble 1 trial is already concluded. And we should begin those results at the end of January, beginning of February. But Ensemble 2 is really looking at how effective is two shots versus one shot. So what would be more beneficial for the world, specifically with how long will you be protected by these antibodies against a vaccine, against a virus with these, with the vaccine and a booster. So we were like, you know what? This is still very important. Let's do it. This sounds good. And we kept on reading through the document. And there was that one part where I think we were both a little bit nervous about, like you were alluding to. Yeah. They talk about everything in there.
Everything. And what was, I mean, when we asked that question specifically, we were like, what is going on? I thought this was a one shot. The doctor said, yeah, this was really interesting. And it was a surprise for all of us too. But we're really excited to be a part of it because honestly, the results of that one shot vaccine are going to be out for the FDA to start reading at the end of the month. Right. So if the FDA, after reviewing everything from that one shot vaccine after phase three trials have been completed, because they already have for that one shot, then and the FDA does approve it, then it will be obviously expedited to be able to be distributed.
Now, that would be insightful for us, too.
It would be really insightful.
We found out it's the exact same shot,
yes,
which is key. So we're very grateful that we can participate in this. Johnson & Johnson, great brand name. Janssen is a branch of Johnson & Johnson, something that they own. It's a partnership. This is the one that we're very excited to participate in, for sure.
But it did answer the question that we had when we originally had signed up for the Janssen trial, when we thought, you know, we wanted to get in, and they said, sorry, we're closed, we're not doing any more. It answered that question as to why we were now able to be a part of the Janssen trial. And it was simply because they wanted to just test the booster and how effective the booster was.
So, well said. That's as summarized as I was trying to put it.
Yeah, thanks. So yeah, really, really interesting off the bat. So awesome, cool. We're going to be testing out the booster, but we're also getting the exact same shot, like John said, as those who were involved in the phase three trial of Janssen that is now closed and now
Ensemble 1.
Yeah, Ensemble 1. So we're in Ensemble 2.
Yeah, and in Ensemble 1, they did disclose to us that there was one participant that had a brain aneurysm. Is that
right? Yeah, essentially they had an issue with
like an ongoing headache.
Yeah.
Like ongoing headache, can't get rid of it, and it was still being investigated if that was based on the vaccine or if that's something completely separate.
Right.
And therefore, because it's inconclusive at this point, they have to disclose it to us who are participating in the Ensemble too.
Yeah.
That was a little scary. We kind of heard about that a little bit. But I mean, you have so many participants. The first Ensemble 1 had 30,000 participants. Could it have been the vaccine? Could it have been something different? At this point, they're still investigating. So they have to disclose that to us, which, honestly, it made me a little bit nervous, at least want to ask about what was going on there.
Right.
And they made me feel a lot better in explaining that this is just simply disclosing the information. We're not saying that it's from the vaccine, but, you know, we're all trying to get through this much faster, so we have to include it in there. You know, they made us feel really comfortable, like, you know, you can drop out at any time. You don't have to do this. And I was like, I know.
You're a volunteer.
But I feel like this is something that we really want to do.
Yeah.
Like, this is something we're passionate
about. Yeah, I agree. And I actually feel like the transparency of it being in the document they gave us, like it was clear as day, written out exactly what happened. It really, to me, that's all I want. I want to know every single piece of information that I could possibly gather in order to feel comfortable doing this. And I certainly did that. So really interesting. We ended up finally going in the first.
This was unfortunate. We had to go separate. I was like disappointed about it. I was like, I was hoping we'd be together the whole way through so we could like answer questions. But they put Quinn in room 6 and me in room 4. And go ahead. Tell them what
your journey was. Yeah, so the first phase is called like the screening, right? So this is where we're combining two appointments. So that's why it was so long. So the screening is the first one. And then the visit one or day one is the second appointment that's combined. And that's when you actually get the shot. So the first phase is like, it is like a lot of information that you have to go through. So you're sitting there in the office with another individual who's a part of the research group, right? And they're basically getting all of your information health-wise. Mm-hmm. They're testing you. They're getting your temperature. They're getting your pulse oximetry.
Every question. I mean, like every single thing that you've ever been allergic to, every vaccine you've ever had in your life, any like type of issues you have, like what kind of vitamins do you take, what kind of allergy pills do you take, like all the little details.
I mean, everything, like how much do you drink? I mean, all of the different things that you could ever, like, they just need as much data about your lifestyle, your past health records, and your present, like how you're actually feeling. You know, have you ever gone in, have you gone in and got actually gotten another vaccination in, you know, the last couple
when
of months.
When was it specifically? Yeah. They asked me, like, when did I develop hay fever? You know, like, just regular allergies. And I was like, I don't know, since a little kid. They were like, how old do you think you were? I was like, geez, 8 years old. They were like, okay, in 1995, we'll put it down here. I was like, well,
it was really interesting. And then they also go through, like, your demographics. Like, you know, what do you do? What was your level of education? Yep. Like, literally everything they could possibly do. And, I mean, we love this stuff. This is, like, us basically being involved with an experiment, but also understanding how difficult it is to structure. Mm-hmm. I mean, these questionnaires are really difficult to structure.
Right.
I mean, asking questions in an experiment is an art and a science in itself, you know, but I think it was obviously the most extensive survey I've ever participated in, for sure.
Every single page they had to sign and date, like every single page, every single covered one. Every single aspect that was listed in detail.
Yes, exactly. And so, yeah, once the screening kind of like came to an end, then Dr. Gigi or one of the other heads of the research group of this particular Ensemble 2 research study would come in, review everything. Yeah. Every single page was reviewed.
Their position was titled the investigator.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, that's a kind of cool name for, you know, what your part is. So they just want to double check that everything that you've said is true. And if you have any extra questions, and make sure that, like, the person who did the initial review did everything right and made, you know, just make you feel like you're good to go for the next phase.
Yeah.
So you are kind of being investigated in a weird way.
It for sure. And it was really cool because the investigators were actually really approachable.
Yeah.
And they wanted to have a conversation with you, essentially. Like, it was kind of almost like their qualitative aspect of the investigation is just like, what other questions do you have? You know, I want you to really feel comfortable
they
with this. This is the
informed.
One. Yeah, they were like, this is the one that I'm most excited for.
Yeah.
I mean, that was really interesting too, to get their own personal
the vaccine. Yeah.
Yeah. Of the Janssen vaccine, because Moderna, as we've covered before, Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine are really new technologies in terms of vaccines.
Yes. It's a mRNA vaccine where they're taking genetic code, putting it into your system, and then you're creating the own immunity within your own body system. This is the tried and true version of a vaccine where they're taking not necessarily a dead virus, but more of like a neutered virus.
Yeah, neutered virus.
A virus that can't spread. It can't replicate itself.
Right.
And so once it's introduced to your body, then your body can kind of see what it looks like, and then that way when the real virus tries to enter your body, it already knows we need to fight this off.
It knows how
and
to.
So it's not surprised, and that's the antibody, essentially.
Exactly. And so that was, you know, not only with that explanation as to why they're really excited about it, but also definitely with the one shot potential and how it will definitely accelerate and help the distribution of vaccines.
Right.
We're all so excited about this, right?
Also, this one does not need to be frozen at a ridiculously cold temperature.
No, they did need to thaw it out, which I thought was really interesting. So we had to wait, like, so I don't know what it's going to be like in the distribution, but it kind of gave us a little bit of an insight into it, because so once we went through the whole thing, the investigation interview and everything was over, then the doctor had to prescribe the vaccine, right?
Yeah.
And this is a double blind study, 50-50 chance of us actually getting the placebo or the actual vaccine.
Yeah.
And once she prescribed it, then it took 30 minutes to take out of the refrigerator, which 30 minutes is kind of a long time, right?
Yeah.
In terms of you know, distribution.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had to do so many tests. I mean, I don't want everyone to think like this was a quick thing. This was like a lot of stuff. We had to give blood. And I have to say, I was a little bit nervous about giving blood. I wasn't sure how much it was. They did a great job of taking just a little bit of blood. We also had to do our temperature. We also had to do an oxygen test to see how much oxygen we're getting into our system. And all that went pretty well, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
And from there, you also had to do a pregnancy test, which I thought was really interesting, too.
That was interesting. Yeah, I guess, interestingly enough, the investigator told me that I was the first woman who has volunteered in this trial,
yeah,
who is of childbearing age.
Mm-hmm.
So a younger woman. They've had older women volunteer, but I was the first one. So it was weird because you cannot be pregnant during this trial.
Like, which
you
makes have a lot to, of sense, right?
It'll pay for you to be on contraception, or you have to like promise that you're not going to have sex, essentially. Mm. And so I was already on contraception, so it was fine. And so, but in order to, for me to actually be approved to do the trial, I had to take a pregnancy test to ensure that I was negative, even though I had said, yeah, I'm sure I'm not pregnant. But they had to put that into the lab, and that was a part of the whole study. So it was really interesting, but it was more interesting also to see the reaction of the investigators, because this is the first time that we've really had to do this. So,
yeah.
You know, but I understand why. I think that it's a really great thing that they ensure, and they make sure that, you know, if you are of childbearing age, that you know what the risks are, and
right,
you're completely protected from ensuring that you're not going to have, you know, some disabilities if you are.
Yeah. For the child itself, if you did that, that would be sad. Yeah. So I'm grateful that they did all those tests. After we went through all these different interviews, we did get approved, and they said, do you want to do day two today? And we were like, let's just do it. Let's go for it 100%. I'm all in. Are you all in, Quinn? Quinn was all in about it. And so we went on and said, let's go for it. A bunch more questions. And then finally they said, we're going to do it. And we want to make sure that you're good to go. Two thumbs up. And all of a sudden they got all suited up, and they were very kind. They allowed us to do this together.
That was really nice. They allowed us to be in the same room finally. And the doctor, Dr. Gigi, put on her suit. John went first. And well, they actually, before the shot, they took, again, our pulse oximetry, yeah, basically the oxygen in our blood and our
test
pulse rate.
Over and over again, yeah.
And then
We did our COVID test, too.
Oh, yeah, we got our first COVID test. That was cool, too.
That was kind of interesting.
We don't get to know what the results are.
No.
That's only just a data point, but that was interesting, too. Yeah. So, anyways, John.
And it's not that bad. You stick it up an inch into your nose, and you twist it around, and it does go in pretty deep, but at the same time, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. But we got trained on how to do it, because we were informed that if we do ever think that we have COVID, they actually gave us these whole packets of information so that we could test ourselves at home. So that was a bit of giving them data, but also training us on how to do a COVID test at home.
Yeah.
Which was very insightful.
It is interesting. Yeah. Oh, it really was. And they did send us home with several different COVID tests. So
yeah,
if we get any symptoms at all, then we have to start testing ourselves at, yeah, home, and basically putting it in a secure bag, and then they come and pick it up and whatnot.
Right. And this is nose and saliva.
Yeah.
Right?
They also gave us a saliva test, which was really interesting. I hadn't seen the saliva test yet, but
yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, then John sat down, he pulled his, you know, sleeve up, and Dr. Gigi was so cool and nice. And she just
so informative.
He's so informative. And so they, the shot came out. She had her whole suit on and everything to, mm-hmm, administer it. It came in like this like big
metal container.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she pulls it out. She looks at it. She's like, look, you can't really see it. She made sure that she put her hand behind it to make sure there were no particles or anything like,
right,
that. It's taped with yellow, so you can't see whether or not it's the.
Right. So all of them have a clear yellow tape around it. So they all look like the liquid is yellow inside.
Yeah.
You can't tell the difference in the color, you know, because I was like, can you tell the difference based on what color? And she goes, nope, they're all taped yellow. It's like, darn it. I was trying kind of, because this is a double blind study, and
yeah,
I'm so curious, did we get it, did we not get it?
Yeah, so how the double blind study works also is that once we are assigned an like basically a number.
Yeah,
I
was 58.
Yeah, I was 59. And participant number. Once that goes into the system, then the computer randomizes and selects a certain, you know, like basically numerical number or RFID tag.
Mm-hmm.
And then the researcher takes that, and they don't know either.
Right.
So it's really completely randomized by the computer.
And they have a full laboratory in the back with,
yeah,
with a, I think a couple pharmacists in the back, and they're the only ones that know. They don't know who we are, and they don't know anything about us, but they know which shot is placebo and which one's real.
Right.
And that's when they froze it, which did take some time while we were waiting. But once they did that, then it was like, okay, this is game time. And this is where the doctor got kind of serious about it, which I was like really appreciating. She was like, you can come in the room, but I'm only going to have one vaccine in the room at a time. I want to make sure that 100% everything is done. Check the box. I mean, she pulls it out. The shot itself was labeled. She was like, what's your name? I was like, hi again. My name is Jonathan Button. Mm-hmm. This is my birthday. All the information. Okay, good. And then they're timing every single thing. Okay, we're looking at it. Check this. The nurse was there writing every single thing down. Okay, no particles, clear. Okay, insertion at this time. Drawing back, checking for blood. Okay, nothing there. Okay, we are putting the liquid, the vaccine in now, countdown, and then they like start doing another timer and end of vaccine, pulling it out, boom. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the freaking moment. I can't believe it. And she was like, this is kind of special. This is like history being made. I was like, you know what? It kind of is like history being made. And it was, for me personally, it wasn't painful going into my arm. Maybe it's because I have very large muscles in my arm, but I'm not 100% sure. Yeah. But she was very nice, and she gave me a Band-Aid for sympathy, which I do appreciate.
She was so funny. Yeah, they recorded absolutely everything, and then they actually require you to stay in there under their observation for 15 minutes. It used to be 30 minutes, but as of the day that we came, they actually changed it, which was really interesting. They cut it down by half, but they have to observe you for 15 minutes after you get the shot to ensure that, you know, everything's okay and you're not going to pass out or whatever. They give you snacks and water and everything, which is really nice. And then after John got it, I got it.
And Dr. Gigi like changed her whole clothes and everything. Like, this was done to a T.
Yep.
So she put on the whole new suit, or not, what do you call it? Like medical outfit. And then came in, did the whole spiel. What's your name? Quinn Button. Nice to see you again. You know, what's your date of birth? All that information. Look up at the, and this was a really long shot. I mean, to me, I was like, dang, this is like a big guy.
Yeah.
And she was like, it's actually not that big. It just looks bigger. Don't worry. I was like, okay. Were you nervous at all?
I'm always a little bit nervous after the shot, but I will say the whole blood drawing thing, that usually makes me really nervous, but she slipped it in and pulled it out, and I didn't even know that it happened.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I think I'm in good hands. It's okay.
For sure. And definitely felt that way.
Honestly, though, when it went in, that was so nice. I'm really glad that she said that to us, but she was like, this is like history being made, don't you think?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I got chills. And it just kind of took me away from the moment of like it going in.
Yeah.
And then it actually did hurt a little bit. Maybe I'm just a wuss, but I would say that the shot itself was once it goes in, it's fine, whatever. Yeah. And then the actual shot itself it wasn't painful. It's just like a little uncomfortable, I would say.
You felt it. You felt the liquid going in.
I felt the liquid going in.
I didn't even feel that.
Yeah. Well, that's lucky for you. I don't know. But we honestly, we have no idea got the placebo, if we got the actual shot. But we're grateful that we were there. We showed up for it. We did it. And we got Chinese food takeout right after.
There was a really funny moment, though, when Quinn was getting the shot, because we were trying to like take a picture, because when she said this is history being made, we were like, you know, maybe we should record this film this, because this is like kind of a cool moment. And so I remember Quinn's sitting there, and I'm trying to get a really good angle, so I'm moving my chair, and unfortunately I like dropped my chair a little bit. And the doctor and the nurse like looked back in panic, because I'm in the waiting time period of making sure that the individual doesn't pass out from the vaccine. And they're like, "You all right, man? Are you fainting on me?" And I was like, "Don't worry, I'm just trying to get a photo." And they're like, "Okay, you had us nervous for a second."
That's funny.
But it was they took such good care of us. And
honestly,
later they explained that like if someone did pass out while we were waiting our 15 minutes, because we had to wait an additional 15 for Quinn.
Right.
They explained the whole process if someone faints, and they were like, I go and become the door guy. The doctor comes in here, we clear out room for the ambulance. Yeah. So we were like, okay, well,
they had a good plan. They had a whole system in process, but they said that they've never had to do that before, but they have to have a system in place just in case. And honestly, it was awesome. We didn't feel faint, nothing at all. Everything was fine. We went and got Chinese food afterwards, and I can't honestly, I cannot say enough about how great the Meridian research team was.
They were really
great. Every single one was comforting. They were nice. They made us feel like it was like, this is, we're a part of this. We're, we're like, you're part of our team now, you know, you're part of the family. And, you know, it was interesting to know that they didn't get the vaccine themselves. They weren't considered frontline workers, but you know, I have a feeling that they'll probably ensure, I know that Dr. Gigi will make sure that, you know, everyone does get the vaccine if it gets approved when the time is right.
Well, they got the perfect connection. I mean, if you're doing the study at their facility, they already have the vaccine in there. It's just ordering more. And I think that they would expedite that. She made it sound like this is the one that she believes in the most, the Johnson & Johnson. Which was really comforting news. She did even state that she maybe had access to getting, you know, the Pfizer one, but she said like it would have been a little bit difficult and I'd prefer to just wait for the Johnson & Johnson one because I think this is going to be the one that's going to be the game changer, which was comforting. Of course, there's probably a bit of bias in it.
Yeah.
But that was really, really comforting to hear.
Yeah. You know? And her reasoning is one, like we said, the distribution of a one shot vaccine is so much more efficient, right?
And tried and true.
And then number two is this is the technology in vaccine innovation that we have been using for years now. We understand this. We know it. We know it works. And we just need to make sure that it's as effective as possible in preventing this specific virus from spreading.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, I would say now that 2 days later. Okay. So the day of, I would say, let's just like give them our update on like the day of and the day after.
Right. So yeah. You want me to go first?
Well,
we got home. We planned for this. We fully planned like, okay, we need to make sure like we're taking it easy. We can't be going and like running around and like grabbing food and going grocery shopping. So we already had our groceries and everything planned out for dinner. And so all we had to do was just kind of like relax at the house. So we made sure that we did that. And I will say that probably around maybe like 8 o'clock, I did get a little bit of a headache. Now, could that have been from, it could have been from Chinese food. It could have been from me just like being nervous or like lack of sleep the last few days. But I have no idea, but I did have a headache, but I didn't want to take any, you know, Tylenol or Advil. I was like, let's just wait it out. And then I will say for me personally, I did wake up in the morning and I still had a little bit of a headache. So I did take an Advil. Could have been the Chinese food. Yeah. Could have been anything. Like there's a million things it could be. So I did report that. We have to do an online e-journal. And so I did report that in the e-journal. And then it asked a bunch of other questions. So I had to give my temperature. I had to tell them my oxygen reading and my BPMs. And all of it seemed fine. But now I'm still doing my oxygen reading 3 times a day ever since I told him I got a headache. And on a 10 scale, I marked it as a 5. It wasn't that bad, but I was like, this kind of sucks. And I don't know why I have a headache.
Yeah.
I'm just going to mark it down because I think all the data parts are very essential for the progression of the vaccine.
Yeah, I think that was really the very first indication of like, oh, someone does have something, you know,
maybe.
We both of us are going into this as like, we don't know. Let's try to be strong mentally and everything.
Yeah.
But obviously everything we do have to report. And so like John said, they sent us home with a pulse oximeter device and we can actually put our finger where you put your finger in and it measures your heart rate, the oxygen level in your blood.
And they also give us a thermometer and we have to do this, twice a week.
Monday and Thursday. Yeah.
But because I said, you know, I did have a headache, they wanted to do it a few more times. So now I'm doing it 3 times a day, but hopefully I won't do that tomorrow.
Right.
I think that I'll be cleared.
Exactly. And I mean, I woke up, I was tired, and I had like some like achy muscles, but I've also been like recently running a lot more and getting back into shape. So I just kind of chalked it up to that. And I actually went out for a run and I was like, okay, look, if I feel good enough to go for a run, like this is great.
Yeah.
Not sure still if we got who knows. So
no one knows really. I mean, the pharmacist knows which number they gave it to, but they don't know who we are. And you know, we know our number, but we don't know which vaccine or placebo we got. And they also, the doctor even said that if we got the placebo, sometimes that can even make you feel a little bit different too. It's just some type of water, I guess.
It's saline solution basically.
And so we're kind of intrigued by this whole process. We're gonna have to go back again in the next few days just to get a little checkup. I think they'll take our blood, probably COVID test. I mean, like just the normal things. They just want to make sure everything's fine with us. That will be a quick visit, which I'm grateful for.
It will be a quick visit. It will be interesting too, because they say in the first 2 weeks, the information that they gather from you is the most important.
Right.
And then that next visit is going to also be pretty important.
Right.
Isn't that where we get the booster shot?
The booster shot doesn't come on the next one. It's the one after that. Got it. That's on day 57 to day 43. We got our scheduled as soon as possible. So we're going for day 43. And that's when we get the booster. And based on, I did talk to the doctor about this, based on the other vaccine trials, the boosters where if you're going to have any reactions from the vaccine, that's when they'll become a little bit more significant. Mm. A lot of people feel like nothing on the first one. So I'm kind of intrigued. I don't know if we're going to have any reactions. Ideally, we don't have any reactions. But at the same time, I wouldn't mind getting a little bit of reaction because then at least I'll get a little bit of a clue.
But well, I want to know. Yeah. But anyways, we learned a lot more. And maybe in the next episode that we talk about the vaccine update, we'll definitely update you obviously on the next appointment that we have. And if we have any, you know, other side effects, we'll let you guys know as well. But I think it would also be interesting to explain in the next episode what happens, you know, because we are of the age where we're not going to get the vaccine based on the distribution plan until the summer, right? So
end of spring, beginning of summer. Yeah. Exactly. We'll see.
So, but there is an option for individuals to actually unblind to see whether or not they got the placebo or the actual shot. But they request that you don't do it until 2 weeks after the booster shot.
Yeah, at least. And there is also the possibility of the sponsor, Johnson & Johnson and Janssen, unblinding it themselves.
Yeah.
And then that would be a different type of situation. But these are unprecedented times. We've heard that so many times. But literally, these are different times. And so... Yeah. I think they've done that with some of the other vaccines. I mean, if it goes to FDA approval, they want to make sure that if you have access to a vaccine, that's a priority, is getting you vaccinated versus having a placebo and putting yourself at risk. So we shall see. We're grateful to share
ears,
it with you.
Keep your ears and your eyes out for information later this month about the vaccine, about the Johnson & Johnson Janssen vaccine.
Yep, that's in our arm.
The report is going to be published by the end of this month, and the FDA will be actually reviewing that beginning in February. So just look out for it. You can read all about it. I think it'll be a really great thing that once it gets published, and we'll see what the efficacy rate of the shot is too.
Yeah. So if you have any questions, let us know. And I also want to throw out, this is our call to action. When you can get a vaccine, please go get it. We're not asking you to go get, do this whole trial thing. But if you can get one, when you can, don't wait. Answer your call to action. We appreciate you all. We hope you have a great day. Talk to you later.
Bye.